So we talk about the non-anxious present this morning. I said to some of you that I truly understand my calling to this congregation, as has been the case in many congregations that I've served, to be a non-anxious presence in an anxious situation. And to do that, we need to understand a bit of the non-anxious present. So I want to offer a tool today for us to put in our toolkit as we take this journey together. And to set it up for you, I want to share a story. My wife and I had a dear friends who we got close to in the last few years. And he had come down with ALS, a very debilitating disease, and it was progressing faster and faster. And he knew he wasn't going to have too much time to enjoy the things that were deep and meaningful to him. So he asked Nancy and me if we would be willing to go on a cruise with him. It was something that he loved to do. Now, he liked the shall-not-be-named party ships, big ones with lots of people and lots of noise, and it was his thing, but we were there for him. And so a week before the trip was to take off, we got tickets and we got on the boat and we spent that time with him. It turned out to be a very important time. This was at Thanksgiving, and within a few months, he had left us. But while we were on that trip, I had been in the midst of a very difficult flare of arthritis in my neck, and I was in huge pain. But it was important enough for us to be present for him that I didn't worry about that, and I saw my doctor, and I came on board with a small bottle of OxyContin that the doctor had given me. Now, I'm not a big fan of opioids, and I know they are difficult drugs. I also knew it was the smallest dose they can prescribe, but it still bothered me. And yet, what happened on the ship was I started to realize that this pain was increasing and increasing, and I just didn't know what to do. I started to get afraid. I kept counting the pills and counting the hours before I could take the next one. I remember just being in such deep agony that there wasn't anything I could do about it. And so I finally went to see the ship's doctor. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in the dispensary on board a ship, the big cruises, cruise lines, but man, they're fabulous. They've got an ICU in there. I mean, they really do. It's like a mini hospital. And I talked to a very kind doctor there and explained my situation. And I said, I really need to increase the doses of these pills, or can I at least take them more often? And I'm running out of them. And he said, yeah, no. No, you can't, because you're at the prescribed dose. But we counted them out and figured out how many I needed additional to be able to last me through the 2 weeks. And $250 later, with my little bottle of pills, I left the dispensary and went back. But I really didn't like the path that I was on. And so somehow, and I still can't remember how exactly, a book found me. Have you ever had that happen to you, where a book finds you? Exactly the book you need at exactly the right moment. I was just looking for a book to read in some quiet place on the ship because the noise made everything worse. So I found a quiet place, and I had picked up the book called Radical Acceptance by PhD Tara Brock. And I highly recommend it to you. It became an amazing read for me. What she said was, don't fight the pain. Welcome it. Accept it. Let it in. And in fact, don't just let it in, but stay mindful with it. Figure out what it felt like. What does that pain feel like? What's the texture of it? Is it a gnawing pain? Is it a stabbing pain? Is it an ache? What is the quality of that pain? And be present with it. And so, like any normal person, I said, are you kidding? What? What am I to be doing here? But I learned that resisting the pain made it worse. Made it worse. You see, if we grip and we try and push it back and we hold it off, we use so many muscles and so much energy, it gives you a pain in the neck. But if you can release and let in the experience of the now, then your experience is an entirely different thing. I learned a lot about mindfulness in that book. And the pill I had taken that morning was the last one I took. In fact, I just threw the bottle out about 3 weeks ago, intact. Because I had come to learn a different way to be. Oh, the pain didn't go away, but I had a different way to deal with it. And the way to deal with it is a thing called mindfulness. Mindfulness is about not getting hooked. Eckhart Tolle says, rather than being your thoughts and emotions, be the awareness behind them. Become in tune with what's behind them. So the idea is that we don't get hooked by pain or fear or anxiety. In the year of the drought, Jeremiah says, it is not anxious. The drought doesn't go away, but it is not anxious. I like to follow a blogger by the name of Seth Godin. Seth is a marketing genius, entrepreneur, prolific writer, and he sets himself to the discipline of writing a blog post every single day. It's just one of the things he does in his life. And so I looked at it this morning, and of course it was on anxiety. And he talks about anxiety this way. He said, anxiety is the feeling of experiencing failure in advance. Anxiety is the feeling of experiencing failure in advance. And it happens to many of us. But with active encouragement, we can make it much worse. Without our help, it'll likely fade away. But if we work at it, we can keep it going for hours. And I know that from my own experience. So we try to not get hooked by pain or fear or anxiety. Rather, we stay in the moment. Second, I'd say that mindfulness acknowledges impermanence. We can't cling to a moment. And if we try, it destroys it. Nancy, my wife, served as a missionary in Argentina in the early days of her professional life. And she stayed in that position for about 10 years, six of which were in Argentina. And her parents came to visit her during that time. They had looked forward to this trip for a long time, and they spent an entire month with her in Argentina. Now, he was a pastor, so it was hard to get that time, but he got it, and he invested it in his daughter and in this amazing experience of being in Argentina. And it was wonderful for the first couple weeks. They saw so much and had such a good time. But then this thing happened. Her dad kind of got anxious. The time is going away. Oh no, it's half over already. Oh no, look at this. There's only two more weeks. Oh, look at this. Now we're down to the last week. It's going to end. How horrible. And he missed much of the very experience that was there for him in each day. Kind of ticked her off, really. Nancy talks about that as saying, my goodness, so much more fun we could have had if he wasn't worried about it ending. Living fully in the moment happens when we stay with it, not pulled by the past or the future. It's a discipline, and it's a very fruitful discipline if we take it seriously. And finally, I'd say mindfulness isn't prayer, but it's a doorway to prayer. Being fully present to God, regardless what we bring at that moment, makes our prayer more vivid and complete. This morning, I woke up about 5. I usually try to wake up about 6, but this morning it was 5. And if you hadn't figured it out already, preachers, or at least this one, preach for themselves as much as for anyone else. And as I was carrying some of my own personal angst, I looked at the clock and I said, oh my gosh, I've got the gift of an entire hour. And so I took some time in meditation while I was still in the bed. And then after I felt like I was fully present, my meditation turned into a prayer. And the richness of that prayer was such that it was the fruit coming off the tree, planted by the stream, not anxious, and beautiful. And I knew I was going to have the time to be with you this morning. And I was so looking forward to this community. We need each other, friends. We are, as a community, in an anxious time. We know that. But it's not an anxious time that we hold off. Rather, like Rumi says, it's an opportunity to allow it in and to live with it and to live in it moment by moment by moment. And the one thing I know is that within the context of that impermanence, the bad news is that it won't last forever. And the good news is that it won't last forever. So we stay in this present moment and we be with each other. So I would like to invite you into a moment of meditation with me, mindfulness. And I want to say to you that I'm looking forward to an opportunity to offer during our Lenten period a brown bag noontime gathering, if there are folks interested, where we will take some time for mindfulness meditation, ending in prayer. It's a discipline, but it's an opportunity. And so if you would like to be a part of that, if you would let the office know, or me, we can then prepare for the folks who come. But I believe that it's the kind of an experience that will help us as a community be present fully to our God in this most holy time. So will you join with me in a time now of mindfulness? I'll walk us through it, and then we will turn it to prayer. So close your eyes and be present. And I want you to focus on your breathing. Our breath is with us all the time. It centers us. Feel the breath coming in. Note the little pause that happens when the breath coming in becomes the breath going out. And breathe it out. And then again, a breath. Feel it come in. Note the pause. And let it go out. And one more time, feel the breath come in. Perhaps you notice it in the feeling at your chest or your nose, and release it. And now continue breathing normally, and just be present. If thoughts come in, as they will, it's okay. Just note them. Maybe say to yourself, thinking. Let them go. And come back to your breathing. If your brain is stubborn and won't let it go, just focus on the sensation of your breath. This moment is a gift. Receive it fully. And now perhaps we can recognize that God is present with us in this very moment. Embrace the warmth of God's presence with you. You're with us, God, in this moment, this now, this today. We breathe you in. You draw us close. We know that so often we get so busy or so worried that we don't pay attention to the moment that you give us where you are present to us. And so right now, today, we sit with you in the hope and in the joy and in the promise and even in our pain or our anxiety, knowing that there is absolutely nothing that can stand between us and your love. So as you embrace us, each of us, and all of us as a community, we thank you that you have loved us before, long before we knew we were in us. And we rejoice that we have this time, this day, this present together.